Hey, good morning, Rev City. Come on, how you doing this morning? Glad to be with you in the house of the Lord. Good to be with you together as a church family. If you have your Bible, would you turn it to Exodus chapter 6? Second book of the Bible back in the old, right in the front there of the Old Testament. Just past Genesis, the book of Exodus chapter 6. And just really encouraged and excited about something that the Lord's put on my heart to share with you this morning. And really just anticipating God is going to do some really special things in the hearts of some people today. So I just want to encourage you, get your hopes up for what God's going to do in your life this morning. And, you know, while you're turning to Exodus chapter 6, just take a moment, just encourage you. You know, I know we've got the life group booklet. I know you saw the children's ministry card. Can I just encourage you, lean in and take a step. Get involved in another level. And if you've never experienced the life, they're intentionally named life groups. There's life that happens in those groups. And we know you don't need something else in your schedule. But I'm just telling you, the reward of making the time, you got to be intentional. You're going to have to look at your schedule and just say, hey, babe, let's look for a time. Let's make some changes. Let's make ourselves available to go to that group on Wednesday or for men to find a group that where the guys are meeting or ladies find a group where the ladies are meeting. But take a step. Go and get connected. Go to a deeper place of relationship with God's people and watch what God does. I'm just telling you, watch what God does. I mean, if I'd give you a money-back guarantee if there was money involved in it. If you make the commitment, you'll take a step. You look back and you'll say, we're better off. I'm better off because I took the time and I made the decision to go and connect with the people of God in the presence of God and continue to grow my faith in God. Amen? So, and thank you, by the way, for those of you who serve in our children's ministry. And I just want to encourage you and just give my endorsement as our pastor to that card and just ask you, And encourage you to consider coming and helping us. Can I just tell you, when we're children's ministry at Rev City Church is so much more than just childcare for our adult ministries. We believe in discipling the kids from the youngest of ages all the way through our youth group to know God and to begin to discover His purposes and plans for their lives. And so when you're back there, that's the atmosphere that you'll be contributing to and investing in and belonging in and participating in. And ministry to children is important, amen? It's near and dear to the heart of God. And it's exponential in its impact. Hear me this morning, and this is Pastor T's unashamed sales pitch to serve in our children's ministry. It's exponential, the impact that it has, because oftentimes when you're ministering to these little kids, teaching them and allowing them to connect to an environment where they're experiencing the love of God and the Word of God, you're also making it possible for their parents to be connected to an atmosphere where they're getting healed and touched and set free in areas of their lives. Amen? So thank you for stepping in and helping us in that important area. And I just want to encourage you, just challenge you, like, if you haven't already, if your heart's stirring, or there's just even an interest in finding out more about how you can come alongside us and help us, just fill out that card and drop it on your way out. Again, no obligation. We'll just connect with you and help you discover the right place, the right fit, the right frequency with which to serve in that important area. Amen? You know, I've been sharing with you that I believe the invitation of God to us individually and corporately in this season and our life and our journey of faith together as a spiritual family is that God's inviting us to experience more. He's inviting us to draw nearer to Him. He's inviting us, and His heart is for us to grow closer to Him. And He's inviting us to go deeper in Him. And that's God's invitation corporately to us as a church, but hear me, it's God's invitation to you as His son, to you as His daughter, to you as a believer, as a Christ follower, that there's more that God has for you in this season. Regardless of where you've come from, regardless of where you are, regardless of where you think you're going, there's more that God has for you. And it's all about discovering more of a relationship with Him. It's all about growing in your identity in Him. And so, I want to just also encourage you that as you enter into life groups this semester, I'm really excited and encouraged about what the Lord's called us to do. And we're going to be unifying in life groups and all walking through a curriculum that we're putting together that's designed to help you discover your identity in Christ and grow your leadership in God's kingdom. And we want to just help you see things differently, that leadership is not reserved for a select few in God's kingdom. Every one of us is called to lead and influence and make a difference and shine the light of Jesus. Amen? And so we want to help invest in that. We want to help you see it differently. We want to help you discover greater levels and understanding of your identity in God. Come on, so much in life is wrapped up and tied up in this issue of understanding and knowing in a deep way who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. What God's made possible through Jesus Christ for you to be and become in Him. So much is tied up in that. Listen, we used to live, we moved here to Lawrence, Kansas from Brownsville, Texas, which is as far south as you can go in Texas. Go to Mexico, swim back, you're in Brownsville. And so we were familiar with driving through border checkpoints all over, along the border and even north of Brownsville. Whenever you would leave the Rio Grande Valley to drive to anywhere in the United States, you had to go north. And so as you would drive north from there, we would experience these border checkpoints. And there were these precious men and women serving our country faithfully. And they would just be checking people to just make sure that people had the right documentation. And they were just, it was just a monitor. It was a checkpoint. And can I encourage you with something? I was so familiar and confident in my identity as a United States of America citizen. I was never nervous going through that checkpoint. I was so secure that, I never saw the checkpoint and thought, oh, dear God, what are we going to do, you know? But some people, because they didn't, they because their identity, they would be nervous going to that. I'm telling you, a lot of the anxiety that we experience in life is tied up in the fact that we haven't become fully convinced of our identity in Christ. And so would you come and would you lean in and would you grow and would you learn and would you draw near and would you grow close and would you go deeper and discover more of who you are in Christ. I promise you, you'll be better off for it. Amen? All right, Exodus chapter 6. If you're there, say I'm there. This is an amazing passage. And if you will, just read or follow along starting in verse 1. And it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country.'" And listen, this is the people of Israel have been in bondage in Israel. And this is a prophetic passage of where a prophetic example of where we find ourselves before we encounter Jesus, the forgiveness and the freedom of Jesus, in bondage to a system of the world that holds us in slavery and drives us like a taskmaster. And he says in verse 2, God speaking to Moses, he says, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but not by my name, the Lord. I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And I will take you as my own people." Come on, this is a prophetic picture of what God wants to do in our lives. "I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land that I swore with an uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you as a possession, for I am the Lord." Come on, that's a good promise. Amen. Come on, but look at your neighbor and say, here's the kicker. Come on, here's the kicker. Verse 9. Moses reported this to the Israelites, and catch this, but they did not listen to him. Why? Because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Can we pray over God's word today? Father, in Jesus' name, we just are so thankful. We're so grateful, Lord, that you saw fit to lead us out of captivity and out of slavery and into the promises of God. And you did it through Jesus Christ. And we're thankful, God, for your word today. We're thankful for the privilege and the honor it is to gather in your presence and to visit your word. And we open our hearts. We open our hearts, God, that you would speak to us. We present our lives before you, Lord, that you would strengthen us, God, in any area of our life where any of us today are weak or weary or wounded or need encouragement, we're discouraged. God, we thank you today that you would show up because of your great love for us and you would do the things that we cannot do. You would strengthen us. You would encourage us, God. You would bring hope to us once again, God, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, God. Our minds are alert, our hearts are open, our spirits are soft, Lord, to hear from you and receive from you and to continue to grow in you. And all God's precious people said, Amen. Come on, I wonder if anyone has ever found yourself in a place of discouragement. I wonder if any of you have ever found yourself in a place of discouragement. I wonder if any of you can relate to where the people of God found themselves in this passage. Promises of God laid before you, and almost a lack of an ability to really believe that it could be for you because of the sense and the weight of discouragement that rests upon your life. I wonder if anyone's ever thought that something was going to go one way and it went another way. Come on, can we get real with one another and before God? Anyone ever had that happen to you? I wonder if anyone's ever become discouraged. Let me ask it another way. Become discouraged because of previous circumstances. And I believe today that the Lord wants to come and he wants to shine his light on areas of discouragement and hopelessness in our lives. Not just to make us aware of it, but to set us free from it. I believe today that there are some promises that God wants to speak over your life and remind you of that perhaps in a new way, in a fresh way, as the Lord begins to bring hope and bring encouragement to places where you're currently discouraged, that you'll begin to once again have faith to begin to walk towards them and embrace them for you. Listen, discouragement can keep us from receiving and experiences the promises of God for our lives. And I'm just telling you, as a people of God, we can even sit just like the people of Israel in the preaching of God's word and the declaration of God's promises. And because there's a scheme of discouragement based on previous experiences that have created a set of current expectations, it doesn't even resound in our hearts. We think it's true for our neighbor. It's true for you, Pastor T. It's true for those people. But it couldn't be true for me if you only knew what I've been through or what I'm going through. I hear what you're saying. I see what God's word says. I read what God's word is saying, but I feel this way. And I just want to tell you this morning, I believe it. I believe it. I believe that there's some of us this morning that have been discouraged, and the Spirit of God is going to be here today to set you free and begin to bring hope once again, to begin to renew your hope, to begin to encourage you once again. Because listen, as we become hopeless, based on our previous experiences, based on the way things have gone, based on we thought it was going to go this way and it went this way, the tendency is for those experiences, those previous experiences that lead to discouragement, to begin to speak louder than the promises and the invitations of God. How many of you know we live in a world that often says, don't get your hopes up? But I'm just telling you this morning, as the people of God, if we're going to be people of faith and we're going to embrace and walk towards and journey towards together the promises of God, we've got to keep our hope alive. It's one of the reasons why life group is so important. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to encounter problems. You're going to encounter delay. You're going to encounter discouragement. And you need an atmosphere where people will gather around you and hold your arms up and begin to speak the word of God over you and begin to remind you of how God moved in their life when they were up against something similar in their life. As a people of faith, as a people of God, we've got to keep our hopes up. Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter of faith, the Hall of Fame of faith, and it starts out in verse chapter 1 with something, a scripture that we're often familiar with, but I think there's something that we often miss, and it says this: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The New Living Translation says it this way: faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance of the things that we cannot see. Listen, we are people of faith, but there's something that needs to be unlocked in this. What you hope for is what is fueled, is what's fueled by faith. Faith is the fuel for the journey that God's calling you on. But where is it taking you? What are you hoping towards? What are you expecting? What is faith fueling? What is faith substantiating? It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is faith substantiating in your life? What are the promises of God towards you, towards your marriage, towards your kids, towards your finances, towards your health, towards your future that are currently being clouded by previous experiences that have brought discouragement, that today God wants to begin to blow out the cloud of discouragement with fresh faith and hope? You're going to have things that discourage you. You're going to walk through some things, and you can't allow your previous experiences to determine your future expectations. when you find yourself discouraged, when you find yourself, when you trip up, when something doesn't go the way you thought it would, you can't afford to allow your previous experiences to determine your future expectations. It's the time where you've got to run to the presence of God, the power of God, and the people of God. It's the place where you've got to be willing to say, God, I'm discouraged, and I know that you've got a promise, and you've got a future, and you've got a hope for me because your word says so, but right now, in this place, I'm feeling discouraged. Listen, in any area of your life, some of us have been through some things. I see it all the time as I endeavor to serve and lead this church well. I see people that have been through hurtful, painful situations in relationships, sometimes even in the context of church. And I encourage them, I say, you cannot allow, even if they hurt you, even if they promised something and didn't follow through, even if they took advantage of you or manipulated, you can't allow that previous experience to determine the expectation that you have for your future, or you'll stay stuck where you are. You've got to be willing to allow the Lord to remind you of his faithfulness and allow you and grace you to forgive the people for what they did to you so that you can begin to hope and dream again for what God desires to do in your life as you move forward in him. And can I just encourage you as it regards relationships, as it regards connecting to a church, as it regards stepping out towards a dream or towards a goal, or as it regards believing God for breakthrough in an area of your life? We've got to allow the word of God to dictate in a way that's beyond our previous experiences. Let me just encourage you with this. Be careful who and what you allow to have the key to your heart. Be careful who and what you allow to have and influence your expectation for your future. The only person that'll never fail you is Jesus Christ. The only thing that'll stand forever and is infallible is the word of God. And listen, I'm talking even in relationships that are good relationships. Listen, I try to just stay humble and I try to stay hungry before God, and my heart is to serve you and serve this church well. But at my best, my very best, I'll be a pretty good Pastor T, but I can never be a good Savior to you. I'm an okay Pastor T, but I'm a bad Jesus. Your spouse, you can't even put all your faith and hope and trust in your spouse. You've got to find that only in Jesus. They can't fill that hole. They can't meet that need. They can't heal their heart. God can use them in certain ways, but ultimately you've got to find that only in Christ and Christ alone. Be careful who you allow to have the key to your heart. Be careful about allowing previous failures and things that don't go the way that you thought they were going to go to dictate your expectations for your future. And let me just say it this way. When you fail, fail forward. Did you know that the Bible says that the righteous, the godly, may trip 7 times, but they get up again? You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to trip up sometimes. But see it as falling, not failing. And you know what's interesting? I was thinking about this, and the only difference, I'm sure someone else has seen this before, but I'd never seen it before. The only difference between the word fall and the word fail is what? The letter I. And we got to understand, you know, God's doing something that's bigger and broader than just my own life. And when we stumble and when we fail, we tend to become so insecure. We tend to become kind of fearful about stepping out again. And God wants to remind you this morning, he's doing something in your life that transcends what you can see. And what he desires to do in your life is more than just about you and about me. It's about people that he wants us to reach, and he wants us to shine the light of Jesus to, and that he wants us to lead into a life-giving relationship with him. You're going to fall, but when you fall, get back up. Allow people to help you. You're going to fall, but see it differently. You didn't fail. You just fell. Get up and keep moving. Take your eyes off of your own situation and circumstance, what people might think or what people said, and get your eyes back on the call of God for your life and the reason that he's called you to step out. And, you know, I was just thinking, the motivation of our life is so important. The motivation of our life is so important. And when we lose sight of why God's doing something, it just puts us in a place where a lot of times we become susceptible to the lies and deceptions and intimidations of the enemy. And so recapturing the heart of God, that what he's doing in your life, come on, God sees your difficult marriage differently than you do. And listen, before I wade into that, God is not afraid of the dirt of our lives, and God is not afraid. Faith is, we need faith in the midst of real challenges and real problems and real struggles. And so some of the stuff that you're up against, it's real opposition. It's real struggle. It's real challenge. And then from that place and in that moment, if you find yourself in that place, you're prime for a miracle. But God sees your difficult, your troubled marriage differently than you do. God sees the generations that are at stake. God sees a big picture. God sees this amazing story that he's writing. And we tend to allow the enemy to cause us to just think about ourselves, our feelings, where we are, what people will think of us. And you know, Jesus, he was motivated by seeing other people come to know the freedom and the healing and the forgiveness of the Father. It says multiple times through the scripture, moved with compassion, moved with compassion. You could say motivated by compassion for people. Jesus healed their sick. And I'm just telling you, Jesus never stepped out because he wanted to build a ministry. He never stepped out because he wanted to build a building. He never was worried about how many people were following him on social media. He didn't wake up in the morning and check and see how many people liked the message that he posted the night before. He wasn't motivated by any of those things that we tend to get caught up in and that can become traps for us and that the enemy can begin to use to lie to us about our significance and about our identity. He was moved with compassion for a people who were separated from God and isolated from God and bound by sin or religion. And he was moved to see them encounter and experience the love of God in a way that would make them a new creation. God's up to something in your life, and you need to be reminded about what motivates you, and you need to be reminded about why God wants to do what he wants to do in your life. Get your hopes up. Get your hopes up in the place where you've been discouraged, in the place where you've become fearful because you've fallen and you're afraid to step out again. Come on, I want to challenge the church. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so as the people of faith is critical and important, but faith is just the fuel. What we're hoping for is significant and important. And listen, I believe in this season as a church and individually, we can get our hopes up, not because we're anything special, but because of the God we serve. Listen, we serve the God. These are just a few of the promises of God's word over you and over me. We serve the God who's looking to and fro the earth, the word says in 2 Chronicles, to strongly support someone whose heart is completely his. We serve the God who desires, according to Exodus 30, to make you successful in everything you put your hands to. We serve the God who says if we'll obey his word and put him first, he'll make us the head and not the tail. He'll make us the above and not the beneath. He'll cause us to be blessed in our coming and in our going. He'll cause us to be blessed in the city and in the country. He delights, according to Psalm 35, in the prosperity of his servant. We serve the God, according to John 14, verse 12, that breaks the standard of this world off of us and has filled us with his Holy Spirit and encourages us to step out in faith to do even greater things than Jesus himself. We serve the God, according to Ephesians chapter 3, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask, think, or imagine. And I've said this before, but it bears repeating. God's part is to do the more, but our part is to ask, to dream, to think, to imagine. In other words, to get our hopes up. We establish the floor for God's more. He'll do more, but there's a part that we play. To hope, to dream, to ask, to think in his presence, motivated by revealing and bringing glory to Jesus, and motivated not by building our own kingdom, but by revealing Jesus in such a way that causes people to experience his love and his forgiveness and his life. Turn back to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews chapter 4, and they'll put it up behind me here as well. And I want to read it to you from two different translations. First, from the Message, and then from the New King James Version. And in the Message, it says this, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. It says, "For as long then as the promise of resting in him pulls us on towards God's goal for us, we need to be careful that we're not disqualified. We receive the same promises as those people in the wilderness, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises with faith." Listen, this is talking about a people whom God rescued and whom God delivered. He saved them, but they never entered in. They never crossed over into the fullness of the promises that he had for them. And let me say something. Let me challenge you with something today. You can be saved and on your way to heaven and never fully experience the abundant, the exciting, the fulfilling, the adventurous life of faith that God has intended for you on this side of eternity. There are promises that God's extended to you. These were a people that had seen God move. These were a people who had seen God deliver them. These were a people who had seen God do miracles. These were a people who had known what it was like to be in slavery and captivity. And Jesus had come and moved powerfully and saved them and healed them and rescued them out from that atmosphere. And yet they still were discouraged in such a way that they couldn't fully believe what God would really desire to do in their life was true. You can be saved and on your way to heaven and stop short of embracing the faith and the promises and the adventure that God has set before you. And so then in verse in the New King James Version, that same passage, Hebrews chapter 4, says this: therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Listen, there's very few things as the people of God we need to fear. And the Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But right here it says, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Listen, if there's one thing other than just fearing God, and it's really tied up in fearing God, that I've come and I turn 40 next year. You know, I'm still on this side of that hill, but barely. I mean, I'm hanging on for dear life. If there's one thing I fear, and it's what it's challenging us to right here, it's of holding back and shrinking back and not believing God and not stepping out in faith to pursue the dream and to believe that God is with us and he's for us and he's who he says he is and he'll do what he said he'll do. And if I fear anything, it's that at the end of my life, I look back and I see all the things that God would have done and wanted to do that because of my insecurity or because of my fear or because I allowed discouragement from previous expectations and experiences to have a stronger voice in my mind and my spirit than what God's word says and who he was, that I held back and shrink back and didn't accomplish some of the things that God would have done in my life. Come on, you got to get your hopes up. And it says right here, as we finish that verse 1-3, it says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. God sends the word. God delivers the promise. God brings a dream. Our part is to begin to mix it with our faith. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it's in the mix. Come on, look at your other neighbor, your second choice. Tell them too, it's in the mix. It's the promises of God when mixed with our faith. It's the promises of God when mixed. Come on, there are things that maybe God has promised. There are invitations that God's sent to you and extended to you that you will not walk in, you will not experience, and you will not enjoy unless you begin to mix it with faith. And to mix it with faith, you've got to overcome discouragement. You can't allow previous expectations that have created discouragement to begin to speak louder to you than the word of God and the promises of God. You've got to begin to take steps. You've got to allow hope to begin to rise that brings just enough faith. Come on, you need just enough faith to just take another step, to just take the next step, to just get going. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to see the end from the beginning. God sees and knows. You just have to have the faith to take the next step. And as we begin to take the next step, come on, God's going to lead you. He's going to be faithful. He's going to show you the next step to take, and then the next step, and then the next step. But oftentimes, fear and insecurity and doubt causes us to just become paralyzed. Come on, just get moving. Some of you are closer than you think. Come on, it's in the mix. It's in the mix. And some of you, you've got all the ingredients, but just maybe one or two. There's a strategic relationship, or there's a victory over just one voice of doubt or insignificance. There's just a couple of things that are off. Everything that God needed to put in you to accomplish it, he's put it in you, and he's made possible and available through Jesus Christ. But there's just a couple of things that are off, and it's a season to begin to just say, God, what is it that is causing me to hold back and shrink back and give more credence to the voices of fear and doubt and insecurity than what you say in your word and what you've put in my heart as a dream and what you've called me to step out and do. And we begin to mix. Come on, some of you, you're just one ingredient short. You're just one ingredient short. And the secret is in the mix. The secret is in the mix. The secret is in the mix. Come on, you put a bunch of tomatoes and an onion and a pepper out on the island of our kitchen, and I'll just pass right by that and get a bowl of Captain Crunch. But when my wife starts to take the ingredients and she begins to chop them and she begins to put them in the food processor, and I begin to see it differently. I begin to see salsa. Come on, somebody. I begin to see salsa. What was right here on the table just kind of laid out. When it begins to be mixed, when it begins to come together and it begins to be kind of come together, you know, there's a flavor that begins to melt. I begin to become interested in it. It's in the mix. It's the promises of God connected and combined with the mix of our faith. And can I just tell you, the invitation of God to you, you need to hear me this morning, to you is to draw near. The invitation to you is to grow closer to God. The invitation to you, it's not just for your neighbor or your other neighbor. It's not just for Pastor T and the elders. It's not just for Pastor Eli and Elisa. It's not just for the life group leaders of this church. It's for every one of you. The promise is to go deeper in God. There's more that he has for you. There's a longing that he has in his heart to know you more and for you to know more of your identity in him. It's in the mix. It's in the mix. Come on. If someone wrote you, if a wealthy person wrote you a seven-figure check, you'd receive it in good faith. Come on, who would receive it? Listen, if you believe that the giver of the check was really worthy to keep the promise to cash the check, you'd consider yourself wealthy simply because you were in possession of the check. And can I just encourage you? The check is really pretty worthless. It's just a promise. The check is just a piece of paper with some ink on it and some security measures built into it. And what, you know, just picture it with me this morning. The check in and of itself is pretty worthless. It's just a piece of paper. But there's a promise here that's within it, that there's provision that's within this seemingly worthless piece of paper. And I'm just telling you, some of the promises of God, we've held it the same way. We've held it. We know that there's something good in it. But can I tell you the true realization of the provision that lies within the check requires some action from us. You know, how many of you have ever received those checks in the mail that it says on there, like, this is check paid to, and they're real clever about it. They even put your name on it, you know, and it says $25,000 over here or something, you know, $35,000. You ever receive those in the mail? You know, it looks like a real check, right? And they're trying to get you to go cash it, or it's just kind of a dummy check. Like, if you read the fine print, you know what it says down there. It's like not a valid instrument or whatever, you know. And so, you know, some of us get the promises of God. We get that check, and we kind of consider it this way, like, well, that's not real, or that couldn't happen for me. And I'm just telling you that the breakthrough, the provision of the promises of God will require you to believe that God is who he said he was in such a way that you'll take the check to the bank and cash it. And first, before you even take it, come on, this just work with me on this a little bit. Just walk with me in this analogy. God's written you some things. And when you get that check from God, that promise from God, what are some of the steps that you have to take? You've got to turn it over and you got to do what? You got to write your name on it, right? You've got to attest that I am who God said I am on the other side of this check, and I'm the person that has the right to withdraw the funds that are contained within this check that represents God's promise. You got to be willing to turn. Come on, there's some steps of faith. You got this check, but you got to turn it over, and you got to begin to say, I am who God says I am, and I believe that what he said on the other side of this check that he wants to give into my life, I'm the rightful recipient of it. And so you got to endorse it. And then you got to take the check and you got to present it in the right atmosphere to draw the provision out of it. You got to present it in the right atmosphere. Listen, and let me just, if it's a seven-figure check, I'm talking about the kind of check that will pay off your life debt and provide for every dream you'd ever have. Come on, that's what Jesus came to do. If it's a big enough check, you got to take it to the right place. I mean, you hear what I'm saying? Like, if it's a big enough check, good luck taking it to the quick shop and cashing it there. Good luck. They're gonna look at you funny when you walk into Hy-Vee and try to cash it. You gotta take it to the right atmosphere. You gotta submit it to the right place. And probably if it's big enough, you gotta go to a place where the presenter of the check has been present and making deposits. You gotta take it to the right atmosphere and present it. You gotta endorse it. You gotta take steps of faith. You gotta take steps of action. Listen, until you have the faith to take action, that the action that's required to begin to make a demand on the promises of God, you'll be just like the people of God. The word of God's been spoken, the promises have been extended, the invitations have been sent because it's not mixed with faith. The word of God says right there that it didn't make a difference in their life. I believe that God wants to overcome discouragement today in such a way that gives some people faith to begin to step out. I believe that God wants to begin today in a new way, in a fresh way, to affirm your identity in him that causes you to have the faith to turn the check over and say, I am who God said that I am. And I believe that he wants to send to my life what he says he wants to send according to his word. I believe that there's some faith beginning to stir to once again, maybe you tried it before, Maybe you stepped out before. There's fresh faith that's just stirring to begin to once again take the promises of God and begin to present them in the atmosphere where they can begin to become cashed, where you can begin to experience the provision that's behind the promise. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, God's checks don't bounce. Come on, if he wrote you a check, if he's extended a promise, he's just looking for the people of God to begin to receive it in faith. Can I ask the worship team to come and prepare to lead us? And I really want to give you a few extra minutes this morning to respond to God, because I feel like discouragement is one of the key schemes of the enemy to keep us as the people of God from walking in the peace and the promise and the provision of God. And I believe today he wants to set some people free. I believe today that in this place and in this atmosphere, he wants to begin to speak to you and remind you of some things that he speaks over you. And for there to be faith to receive it in a new way, and for it to begin to speak a little bit louder than the voice of doubt, than the voice of fear, than the voice of inferiority, than the voices of insignificance, than the voices that say you've been there, you've done that, you tried that. I believe today God wants to bring and stir faith for you to begin to step out once again. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, it says, at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. At the right time. Listen, we are, Amity and I are expecting a baby, and we're within 3 weeks of that. No later than 3 weeks from now, we'll have a little baby in our hands. And yeah, come on, thank you for that. That wasn't what I was asking to do. Here's where I was going with that. In the places and the ways that God wants to connect you to new life, there's almost always a process. And listen, I just telling you, I mean, guys, we have it easy, but these ladies go through something, man, to bring life into the world. And I don't want to speak for her or put her on the spot, but she, man, Amity's ready for that baby. She's ready for that life to spring forth. She's ready for that. There are challenges and there are obstacles and there are oppositions almost every time that God wants to do something in your life that will connect you to more of his life. So I just want to tell you, you just can just expect it. You can expect for the enemy to come and try to discourage you. You can expect for the enemy to come and try to trip you up and get you to fall. Get back up. Keep moving. Stay connected to God. Stay connected to God's people. Don't grow tired of doing what is good. Come on. Once you've birthed those kids, those little babies in the natural, sometimes birthing them into their kingdom identity and purpose is even more challenging. Don't get tired of doing what's good. Keep doing it. Keep on. Come on. There might be tears in the night as you're raising teenagers, but there will be joy. They might turn from God's word, but they'll return to it. Keep doing what God called you to do. Stay hunkered down in what God's called you to do. Stay connected to it. Don't get tired of doing what's good. In the right time, at just the right time, at just the right time, you'll reap a harvest of blessing. But the qualification is if you don't give up. I just got to believe that if God says we'll receive it, we'll walk in it, we'll inherit it, we'll see it come to pass, if we don't give up, that there's a risk that if we do give up, we won't see it. And so that's where I want to just ask the Holy Spirit to come and hopefully in an atmosphere that's been just primed with faith and with hope for you to just begin to minister to you. What area of your life have you given up in? What area of life are you so discouraged that you just can't even believe the promise of God towards you in that area? So people of God, just stand to your feet. And I want to do something a little bit differently this morning. As you stand up, can I ask our altar ministry team to go ahead and make your way down to the front. Just prepare yourself, position yourself to receive people and to pray with them this morning. And we're gonna take just our last 10 minutes together this morning. We're gonna worship in this song, and we're gonna open up this altar for you to come and for you to allow someone to begin to speak. Come on, sometimes when you're discouraged, some of you, God's just gonna do something right where you stand, just by his Spirit. But some of you, there's a step of faith, there's a stepping out, there's a taking of the check that God's written to you, and there's a bringing it to this atmosphere with another believer and allowing them to just speak the word of God over you, allowing them to rebuke the lies of the enemy, and allowing them to begin to speak over your heart in such a way that stirs faith once again to receive and walk in the promises of God for you. Come on, you can't lose heart. We can't grow weary. We can't allow previous expectations. We can't allow disappointments and discouragements to cause us to shrink back or to hold back or to get stuck. And I believe today God wants to breathe on your life. He wants to breathe on your heart. He wants to heal you. Come on, some of those things that happened to you, they're real problems, real challenges. Those people really did what they did to you. They really spoke that thing over you. But I believe that God's word is bigger and stronger. And today the blood of Jesus and the love of God desires to heal you and strengthen you and set you free so that you can get back into the game and you can begin to walk towards God's promises for you. Amen. Amen. So Lord, as we worship, we just thank you, Father, for bringing life, for bringing hope, for bringing encouragement, God. We thank you that you do have a good plan, a hope, and a future for every one of us as your sons and daughters. We thank you, Lord, that you do have a calling and a purpose and a good thing for every one of us to connect to. And we realize and recognize that there's an enemy that stands to oppose and to create obstacles for us as we press forward and into the things that you have for us. And we thank you, God, today for healing us. We thank you, God, today for setting us free. And we thank you, God, today for speaking your word over us today in Jesus' name as we worship. So come on, team, lead us. And people of God, can I encourage you? We're a family. Come on, we are a family. And can I invite you, just be free to just make, maybe you've never done this before. As we worship, feel free to just step out and come down to the front. And if there's no one that's prepared and available to connect with you, feel free to just come and just bow before the Lord and just lay something down. Come and lay and just bow at the altar, and we'll find our way over to you to pray for you. Come on, let's worship.